Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's first quarter 2020 results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode. During the company's presentation, after the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star then one to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risk and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to the information or future developments. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the first quarter of 2020. I'm broadcasting from my home because we have a big quarantine in the whole city of Santiago, so I hope that the sound is good and the Wi-Fi is working okay from my home. So, as usual, we will be looking at the numbers, and the agenda is more or less the same. We'll go through a financial review, and then we will look at the deeper into the business segments, and we will end up with some subsequent events and, of course, a session of Q&A. So if we go to page number 4 and we start with the summary of the numbers of the quarter, we can see that we had a decrease in sales of about 6%. So we went from $1.2 billion to $1.1 billion in sales. Our net income, it was a loss, but a decrease in the loss. We went from minus $92 million the fourth quarter to minus $30 million in the first quarter of 2020. Our adjusted EBITDA went down almost 8% from $211 million to $195 million. And our net debt went up from $4.5 billion to $4.8 billion. Our leverage went up from 3.9 times to 4.9 times. We go to page number 5 and we discuss a little bit the revenues. We can see that this 6.2% increase was based on a decrease of $75 million or 14% in the pulp revenues. This was driven by a decrease of 5.9% in sales volume and 4.7% in average prices. In terms of wood product revenues, they remained more or less stable, increasing only by $3.6 million. In terms of the share of our revenues, we had a 57.4% of revenues coming from the wood product division and 40% coming from the pulp division. The rest are sales to third parties of forestry and others. In terms of cost of sales, we had a decrease of 11.2% or about $107 million quarter over quarter. This was explained basically by a decrease in timber cost of about $46 million. This was due to lower timber prices, basically, our own production, and also a decrease in the prices of the volumes that we buy from third parties in different countries. We also had a decrease in maintenance cost of 21%. This is due to lower maintenance stoppages during the quarter. We had, and we will see afterwards, the calendar of our normal maintenance in our mills. Also, we had a decrease in forestry labor cost, this meaning the felling and of our trees, by $11 million. We had a cost reduction in also in felling, but also in transportation, processing, and road construction. This is basically because of more productivity and also the impact of the exchange rate and some decrease in oil basically. If we look at the unitary cost of sale cost of pulp, we saw a small increase in softwood, 1.8%, but we had almost a 10% decrease in hardwood and a 6% decrease in unbleached softwood pulp. The reasons behind the decrease in hardwood are basically a lower cost of wood, explained before. Also, a lower impact of fixed cost because of more volume produced in hardwood. This is because that in the fourth quarter, we had the annual stoppages of big mills like Valdivia and Montes del Plata, which have a big capacity of hardwood. In terms of unbleached softwood kraft pulp, this is due basically because of lower maintenance cost. Page number six, in terms of distribution cost, they were basically stable, only $1 million decrease, no significant variations. In administrative expenses, we had a decrease of $2.6 million. We had lower travel expenses of $5 million. We had lower computer service expenses because we have on the fourth quarter, we had a one-time payments that were more than the average of the year. And these decreases were partially offset by a $6.7 million increase in wages, salaries, and severance indemnities. This is a reversal of provisions that we do every year for annual bonus payment. The annual bonus payment of 19 was a little bit higher than the provision we made last year, so we adjusted in the time of payment, which was in March. That made a difference of that 6.7 million, also some other provisions that we made during the quarter. In page number seven, if we look at other income, we had a decrease of $3.6 million, so 6%. We had a decrease in other operating results. Basically, during the fourth quarter, we had a provision reversal due to accounts payable review. We basically took out some old purchase orders that we didn't receive invoices for many years. We do it every year at the end of the year, so that's why we had this positive effect in this line. We had also lower gains on sales of assets, again a one-time effect in the past quarter, and we had some offset in terms of an increase in gains from changes in fair value of biological assets, 7.8 million. This is due to the appraisal that we do every year, and this year the appraisal came higher than last year, so we had a bigger value that is spent during the year. So that's why we had an increase from $44 to $52 million in gain in changes in fair value of biological assets. In terms of other expenses, here we have a big decrease of $65.6 million, so 56%. And again, this is because last year, in the fourth quarter, we had big provisions of impairment of property, plant, and equipment due to some closing of North American mills and other things. And this quarter, we only had the normal provision that we are making for the line one of Arauco. That's going to be closed once we start line three, the MAPA project. So we are doing about $18 million a quarter in provisions. We will be doing this for the whole year until we spend the whole accounting value of that mill. Now in page eight, as a summary of the income statement, we already reviewed the main lines. Only to comment here that financial costs were lower than last quarter because in the fourth quarter, we made the repurchase of bonds. First, because of the issuance of bonds that we did in October, we will purchase some older bonds. And also in December, we made the make whole of the 19, so the 21 bonds, and then we make a charge of $11 million that was extra. So the 71.8 is a more normal pace of financial cost. In terms of other income, we have a reduction from last quarter, again, because we made a gain, accounting gain associated with a negative goodwill of our acquisition of assets in Mexico the fourth quarter, and we don't have that this quarter. And we have a lower exchange rate differences for $3.4 million. page 9, looking at the evolution of our EBITDA, you can see there that we have been since the last quarter of 19, the last two quarters and this quarter, more or less in the same margin of EBITDA of 17%, basically because of reductions in average prices. The breakdown by division of the EBITDA of this quarter was $80 million in pulp, $66 million in wood products, $71 million in forestry, and the rest the normal adjustments. In terms of variation, we have an increase in pulp, which is basically explained by lower maintenance cost. We have a decrease in wood products, and we have a small decrease in forestry. The rest is consolidation and adjustments. Now, moving to a review by business segment, we can see that in page 11, the evolution of the price of the indexes of price of pulp, and we can see the index of in Europe and China. It's easier to focus on the China prices because our net prices and more close to realized prices by the company. And you can see that up to now we have been more or less stable in both fibers, in softwood around $600 and in hardwood about $470. The spread is about $112 per ton between both fibers. In terms of increase in demand globally, we can see that for the first 2 months of the year compared to a year before, we have 4.3% increase and a 10% basically in China. In terms of inventories, as of February, we saw a stable days of supply in bleached softwood kraft pulp, but an increase in the inventories of hardwood coming from 39 days, which was very low, going up to 47 days of inventory. Page 12, we can see the increase in EBITDA of pulp, which was low in the fourth quarter, so we increased 17.7% to $80 million. But of course, it's a big reduction compared with a year ago, where we had better prices of average prices, almost 27% better than we have right now. In terms of volume, we had a decrease in 5.9%. As you can see in the bar there, we went from 902,000 tons of sales to 849,000 tons of sales. Production was a little bit higher, again explained by lower periods of normal maintenance. In terms of comments on the market, we can say that the first quarter was challenging, especially because at the end of the quarter, we started to feel the first effect of the COVID-19 in the global markets. In terms of the different segments, tissue was positively affected due to a higher demand, but printing and writing markets suffer a significant adverse impact. Global inventories remain stable, but we had an increase in short fiber, as I mentioned before. But we had quite stable prices, as you can see in the graph below, which is prices from China. In terms of the specific market in China, we had some small disruptions in supply chains, which didn't have any impact in our sales. And we had some positive signs until March. But then we started to see some reductions in demand for printing and writing and specialties. Yeah, and it's associated with lower global economic activity. In Europe, the quarter began with strong demand, again, until the breakout of COVID-19 during March. So we had the same situation, higher demand in tissue and lower demand for printing and writing, and some clients announcing plant stoppage and production cuts. Page 13, looking a little bit further into the outlook, for quarter two, we are seeing a challenging pulp market. We are seeing some closing down of paper mills, and this is due more for lower demand than for this for problems of producing because of COVID-19. We saw in Asia also printing and writing and specialties declining drastically. And some tissue demand, especially at the at-home segment of the market, compensating some of the decreases that we saw in the away-from-home market. And in Europe, the same thing. We expect printing and writing and specialties to demand to continue falling as other markets. We can see the prices now until the last prices that we have obtained in May in China, and we can see that we had stable prices. We were able in March to raise $10 from softwood to April for 600, and we remain unchanged for softwood and hardwood at those levels in May, 600 and 475. What we expect for the coming month probably is going to be challenging. We think that we will probably have some moderate or small price decreases because there is a lower demand for pulp because of some stoppages of printing and writing, especially around the world. And there's some increasing supply because of some integrated paper producers that are stopping some paper mills and offering spot volumes in the market of pulp. Even though with that, we think that there's some limit for decreases. We think that in terms of softwood, there are some high cost producers, especially in Canada, and some non-integrated Chinese producers that are with cash costs that are very close to the current prices, so they cannot afford big decreases in prices of pulp. And this is due somehow because of the increasing fiber prices. There's a shortage of chips, especially because of lower economic activity in Canada and other places, and that is increasing the price locally of chips and increasing the price of fiber. In terms of the pulp supply, we can see in the table there the schedule of normal maintenance that we did in fourth quarter. We had the Valdivia stoppage that was longer because of the dissolving pulp project. We had the Montes del Plata annual stoppage for 12 days. Then we had some non-program stop at the end of the year, which was the Licancel mill that was stopped for almost 70 days because more than that, 90 days because of water shortage in the Mataquito River. We were able to do the normal maintenance of the mill in that period. So that is the 9 days that are shown there. And then we had the Aranco line two, stoppage at the beginning of the quarter. And then we had some COVID-19 related stoppage in the Arauco mill. This was due to a case of positive COVID-19 that was found in one of the canteens of the mill where we supply the lunch for our employees, and the authority forced a quarantine for a lot of employees of the mill, and that caused the mill to stop for some days. We prioritized the employees to operate line two, so we were able to start up line two, which is the biggest one of the two, in 5 days, and we kept the line one stopped for 20 days, and then we did the normal maintenance in advance because the normal maintenance was programmed for May, and there was no sense of restarting the mill and stopping that again soon. So we were able to do that. So now all the mills are producing, and the only one the rest of the program maintenance are shown there. Noaldea will do a stoppage of 6 days in the during the second quarter. And the rest are for third quarter, again, Noaldea and the other mills. Now moving to wood products in page 14. So we had here a reduction of 10.3% in EBITDA. This is due to, in the case of revenues, caused by slight movements in price and volume. In the case of panels, we had a 1.5% decrease in price, and in case of wood products, a 1.7% increase in price, and some small decreases in volume. As you can see, EBITDA is quite stable. A year ago, it was 66, now it's 65, and the decrease is basically due to some increases in cost, average cost, due to administrative expenses, basically. In terms of what happened in the market, We had some sales decrease in panels, as I've shown. We had until the end of the quarter encouraging signs in Latin American markets, but the impact of the COVID-19 started to have some impact in the demand. And we had at the end of March a curtailment in sales in markets in Latin America, but also in the US and Canada. In terms of wasn't so affected in the US and Canada, but mostly at the end in Latin America. In terms of some timber, we had some decreases in volume, despite some signs of recovery in the Asian markets. The results for remanufactured wood products were stable. In terms of plywood, we had an increase in volume sales, 4.1%, and the year began with some improvements in some markets. At page 15, we can see the movements in volume, in sales volume that I already told you, some decreases in panels and some timber, and an increase in the case of plywood from 131,000 cubic meters to 136 cubic meters. Now, in looking at the outlook in page 16, first of all, looking at the housing starts, you can see there that we had a sharp decrease in the last number that came about a couple of days before. So we were at levels of 1.5 million tons, million, sorry, houses a year. And we had a decrease from 1.2, I think, and then a sharp decrease in the last figure to 900,000 housing starts. This is, again, due to the reactions to COVID-19 that's affecting the whole economy, the world economy, as you can see. So in terms of the markets of PB and MDF in North America, which represents 60% of our sales, we had a reasonably good first quarter. During April, we started to feel the effects during April. So we expect that sales will recover slightly during May and to normalize in June, July. We had made some restructuring in some of our panel mills. As you know, we have closed 4 panel mills. So this help us optimize the production of mills and we will have most probably good results as we demand picks up again. Particularly in Mexico, the impact of COVID-19 wasn't felt until lately. We expect sales to decline there because the number of people getting infected is increasing a lot in Mexico, and we expect that the economy will be hurt by that and also by the decrease in the price of oil. In terms of outlook for remanufactured wood products, we are okay. Outlook continues to be positive, and there are some effects of tariffs on certain Chinese and Brazilian competitors. Stable markets in plywood, and we expect to have better results from the coming quarters. Page 17, if we move now to Central and South America, which represent 30%, this we had a complex situation in Brazil and Argentina. In the case of Brazil, there's an chronic oversupply MDF and particle board, and we felt significant impact of COVID-19 during April. So we expect that we could improve our sales during May, but it's very challenging because the demand has come down sharply, and the situation in Brazil is also very complicated in terms of number of contagious and the effect that's having in that country. In Argentina, we have a huge lockdown in the country. They have been able to contain the number of victims and people infected, but that this has hurt a lot the economy. And so we had almost all of panel capacity closed down for a month, at least in Argentina. And we expect that some normalization could happen in the second half of the year. And prices should follow depreciation for local currency that we expect to happen there. In Chile, things, as usual, a little bit better than expected, but there was a significant impact again in April, and the country is also more heavily into lockdown at this moment, so we expect that we could have some effect in the sales. And of course, What will happen in the future will depend a lot in the evolution of COVID-19. In Asia, where we sell 9%, there's some signs of recovery, and they're further down the recovery path in Asia, so we expect some balance in the demand coming from there. And Europe and the Middle East is a very small market, 2%, and we have seen some positive price movements in plywood. Page 18, if we look at the free cash flow, we had a free cash flow of negative $500 million, more or less. This was affected by a slightly lower EBITDA, but basically by a negative effect on the working capital variation, that we had quite a positive effect in the fourth quarter. And this turned to a negative effect in the first quarter of 2020 because of an increase in account receivable and a decrease in accounts payable. In terms of interest paid and received, we paid less interest this quarter, and we had more stable income tax paid. In terms of CapEx, we had a slight increase in CapEx that is explained by the MAPA project, which is ramping up a little bit, but not significant in terms of CapEx. We can see this negative free cash flow that was compensated a little bit by exchange rate and inflation variation made our net debt go up from 5 billion to $4.8 billion. Moving to page 19, this is a graph showing the evolution of our leverage and net debt. And you can see there that we ended the year 19 with a 3.9, and this quarter we went up to 4.9. This increase is basically explained by increasing net debt, but also a decrease of last 12-month adjusted EBITDA that reached $987 million. That is a 7.3% compared to the last 12-month EBITDA that we had at the end of last year. In terms of cash, the cash went down by $400 million. So basically, we kept the total debt more or less stable, and we decreased the cash from $1.5 billion to $1.1 billion as we financed the negative free cash flow for the quarter. Page 20, in terms of our amortization schedule, the $610 million that is due till the end of the year, we can divide it in about $340 million of bank obligations. $141 is a pre-export financing that we took during March and is due in September. Then we have $140 million due from our subsidiaries, and most of it coming from the every semester that Montes del Plata has to pay the ECA financing. And then we have $60 million in leasing that is paid by our subcontractors, but since we guarantee those, we account it as our own debt. In terms of bond obligation, we have $272 million. 66 of them are interest payments, and the rest, $200 million, is basically local bonds that are due this year. So $168 million from one bond and coming September 2020. The rest of the years, 2021, 22, and 23, are lower in terms of amortization. So that is explained by the liability management that we have done in the last years as we issue new bonds. Now, if we move to subsequent events, first in page 22, a COVID-19 update. We are doing what most of companies are doing around the world. We are implementing enhanced health and safety protocols in our facilities in order to keep our people safe and in order to keep on production, because our industrial activities were declared as essential businesses in most of the countries that we operate. So we are implementing social distances, home office policies to the people that can work from home, a continuous body temperature measurements, trying to have limited people in meetings, preventing testing, and we are doing more frequent sanitation. And of course, we have not doing any travel, not domestic, nor international. And we are requesting the same efforts from our subcontractors in order to protect our employees. Page 23, we are also giving some support to local communities and hospitals. We are doing massive sanitation fumigation programs in roads, in communities, reaching out 177 communities and 49 municipalities. Also, our subsidiary is Bioforest, which is helping in some technology to provide a more efficient testing and reactors to perform 20,000 tests. And we have donated hospital beds, cardiac monitors, and mechanical ventilators to rural hospitals in our region. And also, we have made available 18 sites to be used in establishing temporary hospital and diagnosis area if it's needed by the health authorities. Page 24, as you probably we have announced before, we approved the capital increase. Yesterday, the extraordinary shareholders meeting of Arauco approved by unanimity the increase of capital of almost $700 million that we done in several stages, and that increase in capital should be done with a limit of the end of 2021. We have agreed to increase at least this year $250 million in order to decrease the net debt of the company. So this capital increase shows the support of the parent company and the group for Arauco, and it's basically due because of the lower price environments and the capital requirements that the company is doing, and this is to protect our investment grade rating. Page 25, just to reinforce our liquidity, we have a very strong cash position of $1.1 billion at the end of the first quarter. On top of that, we have a revolving credit facility, a committed facility of $375 million that is due 5 years from now and is signed with four international banks, which at the date of this report hasn't been withdrawn. And additionally, of course, we're going to receive $250 million of capital increase during the year. So that tops to almost $1.8 billion in liquidity. So we are quite strong in liquidity, as we have shown. Page 26, an update of the dissolving pulp project. This project was completed, as we have announced, in February 2020. The startup we delayed a little bit to June 2020. Because we wanted to be more cautious about the level of the river, the Cruces River in the Valdivia region, and we thought that it was better to stop the process during autumn and winter in order to not to have any risk of the level of the river. Of course, we will keep the flexibility to switch from paper grade to dissolving pulp. The total investment was approximately $200 million. We will start producing slowly dissolving pulp and making some tests and send it to our customers in order to test the quality of our products, and the balance will be keep on producing a paper grade pulp through the year. Page 27, an update of the MAPA project. We have until April 2020 almost 49% committed advance. We keep on expecting that the mill will start producing in the second quarter of 2021. At that date, we will shut down definitely line one. We had an adjustment process during this quarter. We, at the end of May and beginning of April, we got an agreement with the construction companies to stop the construction processes during 2 weeks in order to adjust the safety and health protocols in order to protect all the people constructing there. At that time, we had about 9,000 people working there. And since then, we started again on April 6th, slowly. Now we are currently about 6,000 people working at the site. We continue doing this process with all the engineering works. All of the construction of the equipment abroad was continued, and also the reception of equipment to the site was not stopped. So it was only construction for 14 days, and now we have to reach the productivity in order to keep the pace that we had in the past. basically we had to make some adjustments in the places where the people had lunch in order to have more separation between people have lunch, and also the transportation buses has to be modified in order to have distance with people in the buses. Okay, but construction goes on, and we are trying to get back to the normal productivity that we had before this adjustment of 14 days. We are also one of the only big projects that continue working in Chile. So this has been a big effort. In some mining projects has been stopped in the north of Chile because of COVID-19. Page 28, an update of the North American mills. In April 22, we announced the closing of the Bennettsville MDF mill. So we closed down definitely May 18, so a couple of days before. This mill was constructed in 1991 and had a production capacity of 251,000 cubic meters of MDF. So basically, we stopped this in order to reorganize our production and optimize depending on the demand of MDF. So counting Bennettsville and the other three mills that we closed before, we had a reduction of 400,000 cubic meters of MDF and 478,000 of cubic meters of particle board. That represents about 9% of the total production capacity of Arauco, MDF and particle board worldwide. We are relocating the production, basically supplying more from our mills in Chile and Brazil to the West Coast and to the East Coast from Brazil, in this case. And finally, page 29, the final update of the forestry fires. We definitely closed down the fire season in Chile. It's raining a lot now in the south of Chile. Also here in Santiago, it's going to start raining. And so the final count was that we had an affected area of 2,700 hectares, that we had a fair value of approximately $5 million. So this compares with 1,347 hectares that was affected in the last season. So we consider that the big drought that was affecting Chile and the number of fires that we had, we think that is a very, very successful season in terms of containing fires in Chile. Okay, that's what I had. So I would like to open to Q&A at this point. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. We do ask that you pose your questions. You pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. And our first question will come from Thiago Lofiego with Bradesco. Please go ahead.
Hi, yeah, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Hi, Gianfranco. So I have a couple questions here. Just on your pulp price realization in the quarter, we noticed it decline sequentially. When we look at the FOX index, it remained relatively stable. So did you give out any discounts during the quarter? I'm just trying to make sense of your price realization here. And just looking at, on the back of your comments there that you see in the coming months, potential for slightly lower pulp prices. Are you already negotiating lower prices with your clients, or this is something that you suspect might happen because of the weaker demand outlook? And then the final question here, just on the conversion in Valdivia, how do you see volumes ramping up along the year and along 2021? And also looking at the tough market conditions for dissolving pulp, would you consider swinging that to paper grade at all, or that's not in the cards? Thank you.
Okay. Yes. starting with I don't know which Forex index are you looking at, but I haven't seen any big discounts, that discounts changing. So I will say that it shouldn't be that. I mean, we have to look in detail what are the realized prices that you're looking at compared with that index. But I haven't heard of any changes in discounts that are done basically in list prices in Europe, basically. In terms of potential lower prices, I think that prices could go a little bit lower, not too much, because of what we are hearing, that the decrease in a sharp decrease in printing and writing and the impact of demand for pulp for those markets. We haven't announced prices yet for June, so that would take some days to do that. So I don't have information for that yet. So it's just a speculation that it's going to be probably a little bit tougher the coming 2 months, I would say, in terms of demand for pulp. But we haven't changed the price yet. And in terms of volume of dissolving pulp?
Just on that, I'm sorry to interrupt. You're now practicing $475 for hardwood pulp. Can you confirm that?
Sorry, that we are announcing?
No. The prices that you're practicing, that the customers are paying right now is $475. Is that correct?
Yes. That's the last price we had for net prices in China. That was for May. In terms of dissolving pulp, we're going to start slowly, because we are more worried about the quality of the product than the amount of dissolving pulp that we produce. And since it takes some time to produce dissolving pulp, do the first samples, send it to our customers, then have the feedback from them, and then sending more quantities to be tested rather than the laboratory to test it in their machines, that will take some time. I will say that an adjustment process of probably 6 months on that. So we expect volumes to be low this year, probably close to a production volume, I would say, 130,000 tons, 140,000 tons, that of course sales will be much lower because of this lag that I'm telling you. And the rest will be paper grade. I mean, so we expect to maintain the capacity of the mill, that is 550. So the complement will be paper grade. And I think that depending on the price differentials, we will do some paper grade campaigns in 2021. Right now, the difference between dissolving and paper grade pulp for short five is about $160, and this is better than our break even, but the alternative cost of producing this paper grade is not so much at this moment. So we don't have a rush to go with more speed, and so we will try to prioritize the quality of the product and go slowly. So that's why we expect to produce more paper grade than dissolving this year.
Yeah, thank you, Gianfranco. Just on this last comment. So for 2021, considering the same market conditions in terms of the spread between dissolving pulp and paper grade, what should we assume in terms of dissolving pulp volumes for 2021, you think?
It's very hard to say right now, because it's going to depend on the acceptance of customers of our product and the differential of pricing. I would say that if the quality is good and our prices and our customers are happy with the product, probably the share is going to be higher than solid pulp, even at these spreads. But I prefer not to anticipate that. We will still have a long way to go, and prices of dissolving and pulp could move a lot from now to the end of the year. So I would say that we will keep and we will use the flexibility that we have. The option of moving back to paper grade and it's a good option. So we will use it depending on the market conditions that we see in 2021 also.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you, Gianfranco.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Carlos De Alba with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
So good afternoon, Gianfranco. So in terms of the capital increase, could you comment if during the discussions for the capital increase in the board, was it at all considered the possibility of taking Arauco public, or that is that was not discussed and it is not something that is on the table? My second question has to do with the price pulp outlook for the spreads between the two fibers. The spread has been resiliently above $100 for quite some time now. So I wonder if you can comment how you see going forward. Also, in terms of pulp, what is the current situation of your inventories, of Arauco's inventories of pulp, given that at least in the last quarter, your production increased, but your sales were lower? So was this a situation of increasing inventories because you needed to replenish those and get to more comfortable levels? Or was it because the company faced some challenging conditions in selling the volumes because of the outbreak of the virus? And then finally, I know that there were some comments about the outlook for panels, but could you more specifically maybe give us some color as to how you see the situation in the second quarter with construction activities and lockdowns across many countries? Potentially, we could see a very significant decline quarter on quarter in your panel volumes. Thank you.
Yes. Well, in terms of capital increase, we never discussed Arauco going public. I mean, it was not our intention. I don't think it's necessary right now, and we don't have any plans to do it in the coming future. So there wasn't an issue there. In terms of our outlook of pulp spread, yes, it has been more than $100 for a long time, and that is basically because short fiber has been quite low and long fiber has been more resilient. My feeling is that long fiber is more pressured because when you see a demand of the different end products, tissue is better because of high demand of tissue in printing and writing is worse, and the percentage of the usage of long fiber and short fiber in both of them is different. I mean, in hardwood, 44% goes to tissue globally, and softwood only 32. So I would say that softwood could be more affected, but that will make you think that the spread could go lower as price of softwood could go down more than hardwood. But on the other hand, you have more high cost producers in softwood that are more stressed of the current prices of pulp. So I think that it's difficult to predict, but I would say that probably could go down a little bit from the current levels of $100 cost spread. In terms of the current condition of inventories, yes, we saw an increase in inventory quarter over quarter, about 60,000 tons. But this was basically a temporary effect because of the delay of the dissolving pulp project that was originally expected to start in February and move to June. We didn't have plans to sell an amount of hardwood pulp that was about 100,000 tons. So it was more difficult to sell during the first quarter than we thought. And there we had some delays, but we will, at the end of the day, we sold everything, but with shipments more after the quarter. And then we had some logistic problems from a ship that couldn't embark pulp from Montes del Plata at the end of the quarter. So only temporary issues that will be resolved this quarter. Our strategy has always been to sell what we produce, and not to speculate on inventory, so we expect to be balanced in terms of inventories in the coming month. In terms of the outlook of panels, yes, we have been feeling a low demand that is hurting everywhere, depending on the countries, is higher or not. I mean, we have less effects probably in the US and Canada, bigger effects in Brazil. In Argentina, we are currently with our two mills completely stopped for the whole month. that it, and Chile is better. So we think that the coming month will be difficult in terms of capacity utilization, and we expect that situation could normalize a little bit more as the time goes by the rest of the year, depending of course of what happens with COVID-19. But we think that quarter two will be worse than quarter one in terms of demand and revenues coming from the panel segment.
Thank you very much, Gianfranco. Good luck.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from George Staphos with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thanks, everyone. Good afternoon. Gianfranco, thanks for taking my question, and thank you for all you're doing with COVID. I want to maybe piggyback off of Carlos's last question. So as you look out on panels and wood products for the second quarter, have you incorporated in your directional guidance what's been a pretty strong rebound positively in wood panel markets in North America over the last month or so? And the related question, you know, there's always this discussion about sawmills in British Columbia and the residual wood chip shortage that creates because of all the downtime. Again, you know, lumber markets are rallying in the U.S. Are you seeing any, if you will, increase in supply in wood chips? Not that British Columbia is going to move the pulp markets, given where they are on the cost curve, but are you seeing any kind of change in that trend that, you know, has been much discussed over the last couple of quarters? And I had some follow-ons.
Well, if we divide the wood products division in composite panels and wood pro and solid wood, I would say that solid wood is better, and we saw some increase in demand for solid wood, some timber, and remanufactured wood products, especially in the U.S. Maybe some seasonality going there, but it's much better than panels. Panels almost shut down in some other markets because they are related to some retail stores being closed in some markets in Latin America, and that impacted retail sales. And of course, construction is being hurt. And as you saw in the housing starts numbers, it went down dramatically. So we expect that probably construction will be hurt. And the first market that is hurt by construction is the solid wood market that goes into construction of a house. Then afterwards probably comes remodeling. And there's some argument that probably remodeling wouldn't be so affected because as people cannot move from a new house and they are spending more time in their houses, as I've already been doing, they start looking for ways of investing in their own house. And that will depend, of course, in employment, in unemployment, in salaries, and that will also could hurt also. But I would think that construction will be hurt, and that will put some pressure in solid wood markets.
Okay. And I would mention that you saw permits up yesterday relative to starts and single family stronger. So, and you've seen plywood and some of those markets rallying. So anyway, it's we'll keep noting. What about on residuals?
Residuals. What I've heard is that that could hurt the prices of chips as a lack of demand, but. But I don't have exact information about that. It's a comment coming from the pulp markets that is increasing it would increase the cost of wood for Canadian producers.
Okay. I want to go back to pulp. So, and you know, as we do kind of mathematical calculations of your price, you know, as Tiago was saying, you know, you saw a sequential drop, at least in terms of what we could calculate. Was there much of a change in the energy sales quarter to quarter? And just asking it differently, what were your energy sales in the quarter? If it was in the release, I apologize for missing it.
Yeah, I don't have the exact number of energy sales, but I don't think we had a big movement in that. I wouldn't expect that. So I could give you the numbers, but I don't think there is an explanation probably in a big decrease in energy sales. But I can get back to that number with you.
Okay. And then my last question, I will turn it over. So with your, if not realized yet, nonetheless, your expectation that prices could drop in June, And you mentioned in your commentary that things are more challenging. Are we to take away at least that Arauco believes that the whatever pickup has been occurring for pulp demand because of tissue, that's now being more than offset by the drop-off in printing and writing grades, or is there something else that's driving the, not that it's catastrophic from your view, but seeing a bit of a downturn in pricing and fundamentals? Thank you, and good luck in the quarter, Gianfranco.
Thank you. Yes, I would say that on a total demand, I would say that the increase in tissue, which is balanced somehow by the away-from-home tissue, is not sufficient to balance the decrease in printing and writing. And in that sense, I would say that the total demand for pulp could go down during the year. And also, you have this increase in supply that is coming from from integrated producers of paper that are shutting down paper machines. That would put some pressure in pulp supply. The question here is what capacity will shut down in pulp production because of lower prices? And that is a question mark. We don't know. That will depend on different things, exchange rates, fiber prices, and some other stuff. So the good news could come from shutting down of high-cost capacity that will balance the increase in supply. But I would say the net effect probably is a lower demand for pulp.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Leopoldo Silva with Lorenval. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Gianfranco. Thanks for all the detail. So my first question is around CapEx and leverage. Last year, we saw Arauco delaying or deferring lots of CapEx to this year. And as of the as of March, in Empresas Copex, as of April, Empresas Copex investment plan for 2020, Arauco had 1.7 billion for the year. So my first question is there space to delay further some of these CapEx, or do you have on the cards maybe downsizing your CapEx plan? And if you could give color on what areas could that be? Number two is the decision not to stop a Valdivia ramp up and go and produce this new dissolving pulp, knowing all the that a ramp up could be slow. Should we take that as a decision or as a sign of you're comfortable with leverage in order not to lose your investment grade rating? And I ask this knowing that you are constantly in communication with the rating agencies. And connected to that, if we start seeing continued pressure on panels and lower pulp prices, will you be faced, if faced with a crossroads, on stopping the construction of MAPA not to lose the credit rating? Would that be a decision that you might take, knowing that the pulp prices could be so under pressure? Thanks.
Okay. Yes, our CAPEX, our estimated CAPEX for this year is lower than 1.7 million for different reasons. The first one is that we have continued the efforts of optimizing and prioritizing our CAPEX program. And we have postponed other projects and that are not critical, and also some exchange rate advantages we had. So our current plan is more close to $1.5 billion than $1.7. For example, we have cut different small projects in that were destined for pulp production or things like that that were not really with a big short payback. So we were able to decrease. So we are aiming at more close to 1.5 than 1.7. And we're still looking for more things to cut if it is needed. In terms of dissolving pulp, we are not delaying I mean, we are going to produce less dissolving pulp probably, but it's not the total amount produced by the mill in terms of tonnage of adding dissolving pulp and paper grade is going to be the same. We only do like small campaigns. So we like do 10 days of dissolving pulp, then we continue producing paper grade. So we don't lose any production. So it's not a decision here to that we feel more comfortable with leverage. We are producing the most that we can, but we are producing more hardwood and less number of days of campaigns of dissolving pulp. And the last question, if we are faced with a worse environment in terms of prices and leverage, we don't think we're going to stop MAPA. I mean, the cost of stopping MAPA are higher than any other cost that you can save in terms of CapEx. And since we have liquidity, we have the capital injection, the best thing that we can do is continue working in MAPA and try to finalize it in the date that we were expecting to do it. So there's no sense because of big capital increase, a big capital cost of the mill, and also the net present value of having that mill producing at the 2021. It's better to continue at the same pace because we prefer to have sooner the EBITDA that will come from this mill than saving in CapEx and delaying that because we will have more fixed costs from construction companies and other costs that will be worst. So we have no expectation of slowing down the project in order to decrease leverage.
Okay, all right. Thanks very much.
Our next question will come from Marcio Fayad with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Gianfranco. Most of my questions have been taken now, but I have a couple of follow-ups. The first one, Gianfranco, I wanted to understand from you. I mean, with the COVID-19 cases still rising in Chile, lockdown in Santiago being extended, I'm just trying to understand how confident you are that business can continue as normal, especially on the operational side. I mean, we've seen Horcones being impacted by a couple of weeks. So far, it hasn't been kind of a big impact on production, but just trying to understand for you how confident you are that operations and logistics can continue to run in Chile. And the second one, you did mention some, the fact that the second quarter is still challenging for pulp, which makes sense by your arguments. I'm just trying to understand if there are significant differences you have been observed between the main consumer regions, right? North America, Europe, China. Are you seeing different dynamics on those regions, very different dynamics or just similar trends? Thank you.
Okay. Well, in terms of COVID-19 cases and the effect of production, basically in Chile, 80% of the cases are located in Santiago. So most of the pressure is in the metropolitan area and our operations are in the south of Chile. And the first cases and lockdowns were in the south. That's why there was some overreaction in terms of taking measures in the south that affected one of our mills. And I will interpret that it was an early reaction. We didn't have the government didn't have any clear procedures, what to stop, what is a close contact of some people infected. And that made us have a lot of people in quarantine. That all of them came back to work without any positive cases. So I think that is normalized. And also we have much lower cases in the south of Chile. And also we have very strict protocols. We have taken measures in terms of social distances and all the things that I already explained that give us a lot of confidence that we will not have to make big stops or any most probably stops of our meals. So we're working on that and we feel comfortable that our production will continue. Also, as I mentioned, the wood products and pulp is considered essential business. So we have permits to move people around, even if we have lockdowns or quarantine in cities or regions, or people can move and go to work. So I don't see any progress in operations that will continue. In terms of the dynamics of the market, We sell basically in China, pulp, and 18% in Europe. We don't sell in the U.S., and we sell some percentage in Latin America, but it's not very significant. So the difference, I would say, in between China and Europe is that the dynamics in terms of the economy development are a little bit lagging in Europe. It affected first China, and China is already going out, and the economy is recuperating a little bit. And also, they had a higher growth before this COVID-19. Europe was affected already by consumption of printing and writing, and now it's affected by the lockdowns that were made there and the economy. And also the different levels of consumption of tissue per capita and printing and writing is different from there. So it's difficult to assess. I think they're going to more or less the same stages, but in a different timing. I would say that probably China and Asia is better prepared because the structural growing of those countries is higher. And per capita consumption of paper products, tissue, is also lower. So they have more place to recuperate. But anyhow, we are less exposed to Europe. But this is a global industry, so any effect in one region, even though you don't sell there, could affect volumes coming to other markets because it's a global commodity market.
Makes perfect sense. Thank you very much.
Our next question will come from Gary Vance with PTGM. Please go ahead.
Hi there. This is Gary Vance from PTGM. Sorry, I was kicked off the call just for 2 minutes, so it's possible that some of my questions were answered. Just two housekeeping questions from my side. One to do with the MAPA project. My own notes would signify that you've got another approximate 1.2 billion worth of cash to be spent over the next 4 quarters. Just wondering whether that's correct and if there's going to be any lumpiness in the outgoings there. And then the second question to do with the capital increase that you've just, which has just been approved. You said that this was to do with maintaining your investment grade rating. I just want to know whether these amounts were specifically also discussed with the Standard & Poor's and Fitch and whether this has kind of been discussed beforehand. Thank you.
Well, in terms of CapEx, the MAPA project, I think that our forecast for the MAPA total CapEx for this year was, I think, a little bit less than 1 billion, probably 900 million. And we spent about 300 something probably in the quarter. So, and for the 2021, probably it's about 1.1 billion. Dollar to be spent, and then a little bit over 2022, some small payments are due there. So that's more or less the numbers that I can tell you about the capex of MAPA. In terms of the capital increase, this was of course done with that, and we have discussed many times with rating agencies about our leverage projection, things like that, and we have continued to maintain them with information. And I think you have to wait for the publications of the different rating agencies that will probably announce something. And some of them have already announced them once we announce that by the approval by the board of directors. And they were quite positive about the effects of the capital increase. And I think some of them could announce sharp now, this coming days, their opinion about the capital increase. It's positive, and they know that it's basically showing the support that the parent company, Empresas Copec, has in Arauco and the importance of the investment grade that we assign to our future prospects.
Okay, thank you.
This concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thanks all, and I hope that the next conference call we can do it from our office. We are expected to publish our numbers for the second quarter probably during August. So at that time, we will send you the press release and we will program the conference call. So thank again, everyone, all of you for attending. And any further questions, please direct them to our investment relations teams in here in Chile. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. The conference has now concluded. You may now disconnect at this time and have a nice day.